On Tuesday, we are going to mark the 500th anniversary of an event that most likely did not occur. I speak not about the Reformation, but about Luther's nailing of the 95 Theses to the church door in Wittenberg. Admittedly, it's a great image. Here we have this young monk with his bold proclamation striding up to the edifice of the church, wielding his hammer and nailing the paper to the door. The people are gathered all around, and we imagine they all cry out, "Hooray!" And they go home and they become Protestants and live happily ever after. Well, nobody knows whether Luther nailed the theses to the church door. We can't say whether he did or did not. I can tell you that the Reformation did not start on October 31st, 1517. It was a movement, and it was an epoch, and it unfolded over a long period of time, involved many people, and took place in lots of different countries. I have here a book by Dermot McCullough about the Reformation, subtitled Europe's House Divided, 1490 to 1700. So you can see there's a lot more than the nailing of some paper to the church door in here. Why then do we pay attention to this one German? What did he do that is so noteworthy? And why are we still talking about it today? Why are people still writing books and articles in magazines and pieces that appear in the newspaper and bits on the radio? Why did we read the lesson that Deb just shared with us a few moments ago? Martin Luther, as I mentioned to the kids before, was a priest, he was a monk, and he was a professor. He taught at Wittenberg, which was a town in Germany that was up and coming. The university there was relatively new and was still trying to make a name for itself. Martin Luther happened to be in the right place at the right time. He not only was in an academic environment where he was able to write and to study, but he had the patronage of a ruler who was sympathetic to his cause, if not for the reasons Luther would have liked. Does anybody here know what the 95 Theses are about? Raise your hand. Anybody? Okay, so we got one person. Two! Okay. Well, don't worry. Lots of people know there were 95 Theses and they don't know what they're all about. Luther had an issue with something called indulgences. Now, the Catholic Church in the Middle Ages promoted indulgences all the time. Have you heard of purgatory? Raise your hands. Ah, there we go. Lots of people know about purgatory. There's nothing about purgatory in the Bible. There's heaven and there's hell, but no purgatory. But figures in the church long before 1517 detected a problem. You and I, and just about everybody else, were fallen. We couldn't merit heaven. But there's no way a just and merciful God was going to condemn us all to hell. So there had to be something else. And the church came up with this idea of purgatory, that after we died, we worked off our sins. And ultimately, we would earn entrance into heaven. Now, this wasn't something that took place over a couple of days or weeks. Purgatory was something that stretched on for a really long time. It was like hell. It was awful. And people wanted to find a way to mitigate purgatory. So the church started offering outs. One of them was through indulgences. People would buy indulgences and that would shave some time off of their sentence in purgatory. There were other things people could do. People could pray. And there was a whole system of prayers built up for the dead. And it was believed that relics amplified prayer. You've heard of relics, right? Raise your hands. Okay, this is good. So we know that people had pieces of the one true cross. They had nails that were used on Jesus. There were the innocents who Herod killed. At least they were believed to be these things. Frederick the Elector, the ruler of Wittenberg and the surrounding area, had a lot of relics. He had thousands of relics. And he charged people to see them. He had a pretty good thing going. Now, if you've got the market in relics, you're probably not going to like indulgences. So Frederick was perfectly happy to see Luther attack indulgences. They may have had different reasons, but they had the same goal. Luther had a different problem with indulgences. As a young man, he believed in God, but he couldn't love God. He thought there was no way he could ever do enough good deeds to earn his way into heaven. And he saw God as this fearsome judge who was so far and distant from him. And then he started his work on Romans. And he came across the passage that Deb read to us. And he had an insight. Righteousness wasn't something that we did and therefore were able to work our way towards God. Righteousness was something that God did in Jesus Christ. In Jesus' life and death on the cross, God atoned for our sins. And in response to that, we would have faith. Faith alone was one of the battle cries of the Reformation. And that changed everything. Because where God had once been distant and far, he was now near and close. Luther saw himself as saved, and indeed saw that all humanity could be saved if they believed in Jesus Christ. Well, once he had this insight, he didn't stop thinking, and he kept writing, and he kept agitating, and he kept arguing. And he went on, and he translated the Bible into German, going out into the community, listening to how people actually spoke, so it could be rendered in the vernacular. Now, you remember how I mentioned that he was in the right place at the right time, right? Luther was not the first person to translate the Bible into the local language. John Wycliffe had done it in England in the 1300s. But he only had access to manuscripts so people could slowly copy out his translation. And they were rare. It was easier for the church to suppress him than it would be Luther. Luther also operated in an environment of humanism. And at that time, there was a desire to get back to the original texts. The Latin Church had focused on the Latin Vulgate, but the Bible wasn't written in Latin. It was written in Greek and in Hebrew. And people like Erasmus had translated from the original text, and they came up with different approaches to the text. One was this idea of metanoia. We understand it as repentance. The church had translated it as do penance. And if you think about it, those are two very different things. Do penance suggests that you go and have a rite performed and you're absolved of your sin. Repent suggests that you yourself have to engage in action. Take this new learning together and put it together with the printing press, and Luther's ideas spread quickly. Now, as I said before, everyone didn't become Protestant with a happy ending. We all know that there were wars of religion that tore apart the continent. And indeed, the Reformation itself wasn't a monolith. Luther had his teachings, and then Zwingli came up with his own spin on things. And we've all heard of Calvin, right? John Calvin? Have you heard about Jan Hus in Moravia? You all know about Cranmer and Henry VIII in England, and John Knox in Scotland, and everybody went in their own direction. I mentioned to you that this summer, when I was at Oxford, I was in a class, and one of my classmates was a Catholic priest. And he said, "I don't think the Reformation was a good idea." And I and some of my classmates were stunned by this. Of course the Reformation was a good idea. In fact, the Reformation just was. But I thought about what he said, and I can understand his yearning for one universal church. The problem is that in 1517, there wasn't one universal church. 500 years before, the church in the East broke off from the Western church. And indeed, 500 years before that, there were movements for renewal, monasticism within the Catholic Church. People didn't interpret things the same way from the beginning. And I look at the spread of Christianity around the world today, from Old England to New England to Germany to Africa to Asia to Latin America to South America, and I wonder if it would have spread as far if it hadn't become divided, if there weren't different approaches and different understandings. So what does that leave us today? We have a flexible church, and that seems to be a good thing. Are we done? Is the Reformation over? Will we on November 1st decide that we can just push all this stuff aside and wait for the next anniversary that takes place? I don't think so. Our church falls in a tradition whose motto is reformed and reforming. The work of renewal in the Christian church is not over. And people have different opinions as to how this should happen. I was in Maine over the weekend, and I drove by a church that had a sign in front that said, "Viva la Reformation." Okay, they're all into revolution and protest. And some churches are going to go off in that direction. There are other churches that say, "Back to the Bible, Scripture only." And they'll go in another direction. And then there are going to be churches that say, "We like the way things are, but maybe we'll make some changes to the music we sing or the way we worship." We don't know what the future is going to hold for the Christian church. But we do know that if we open our hearts and our minds and our souls, the Holy Spirit will be at work in us and through us. It would be nice to have everything nailed down and spelled out for us. But that's never been the case in the church. I think one of the reasons that the story about Luther nailing his theses to the door has gained so much currency over the years is that it's something we can see in our imaginations. You know, I thought about nailing my sermon to the door here. You'd remember that, wouldn't you? Right? You'd talk about it for a while. The story about Luther, though probably apocryphal, takes a very complex moment in history and makes it something that we can hold on to. We can see the man at the door. It has that much power. But the truth is that it's the message that had the power. It's the message of Luther and the other reformers that is with us today and will be with us tomorrow. So it doesn't matter whether he nailed his theses to the door. What matters is that he listened to God in his heart and he responded. And my hope is that the church will do likewise in the future.